Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live Friday edition, and we waste no time in bringing aboard our next guest. He's a weekly contributor here on One Bills Live. It is senior producer from NFL Films, one Greg Cosell, ready to help us through the X's and O's of what the Chiefs and the Bills experienced last week, which was a pair of losses, the first for each team, and how that might impact their approach to Monday's game when they square off against each other. Greg, how you doing, guy?
Chris, Steve, how's it going?
It's going all right. I think the biggest thing that was interesting to me coming out of both of those games, Greg, was the approach defensively by the Raiders and the Titans against these two quarterbacks who are somewhat similar in terms of arm strength, mobility, et cetera. You know, the Raiders come out in the second half, and they rush three, sometimes four. They use a spy occasionally, drop seven into coverage, and they hold the Chiefs scoreless in the third quarter, and they only score 8 points in the second half, and they lose the game. And we saw the Titans kind of take more of a coverage approach as well against Josh Allen to force him to nickel and dime it down the field. How much do you think that could be a blueprint in defending these two quarterbacks going forward?
Well, it's funny you use that term. We've been talking about that. In fact, Sal Palantonio threw that word out to me on the matchup set this morning because we actually did pieces in the matchup show reflecting that with both Josh and Patrick Mahomes. I'm not necessarily a blueprint guy because I've always believed that if something were to work once and then everybody just kept doing it, that those players would never be very good anymore. And that's not going to be the case with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But I think what you do is you work off a player's strengths and a team's strengths, and you try to minimize them. So let's start with Josh and the Bills. The Titans took a specific defined approach that was built on playing zone coverage. Over 75% of Josh Allen's dropbacks, they played zone. There was disguise and late movement to get to whatever zone they were in, whether it was cover two, cover three. And Josh had made big explosive plays versus man coverage through the first 4 weeks. So they clearly took this approach. They rushed three. They rushed four. Sometimes they would bring a defensive back, but it would be part of a four-man rush, not a true blitz in a strict sense. So they took that approach. By the way, I don't think Josh played poorly.
No.
I couldn't speak to his second interception. Only he could speak to that. I couldn't. But I don't think he played poorly. And without a run game, and I think that's a little bit of an issue right now, without a run game, they had no big plays on offense.
Yeah, and how do you think with the Chiefs, the Raiders kind of did the same thing? I mean, they dropped back into coverage, rushed just not even a handful of guys. And why do you think that gave them, the Chiefs, so much problems? Was it the fact that Sammy Watkins was not in the lineup, like John Brown wasn't in for the Bills, or was it something deeper than that?
No, I think, look, when you there are three teams this year, by the way, that have played predominantly zone coverage against the Chiefs and have slowed them down, have made them a little less efficient. Patrick Mahomes will always put up numbers. He put up numbers against the Raiders. He threw for 340. But it's the efficiency. And the Chargers played predominantly zone. That's their MO to begin with. But the Patriots played predominantly zone against the Chiefs, and they're not a predominant zone team. And obviously the Raiders played a ton of zone. Because I think what you're trying to do is you want to make sure that you play with great eye discipline, great leverage, assignment discipline, and you do not allow receivers to get on top of you. Now, the Raiders added another wrinkle, which I don't know how Sean McDermott feels about it. I don't think it's necessarily a part of what he does. But Travis Kelce often lines up as the single receiver to the short side of the field with three wide receivers to the wide side of the field. Now, what the Raiders did is they kept a corner to that side and matched him man-to-man on Kelce. So it's a corner now, a cover player. And they played zone to the trip side, the three-receiver side. That was something that the Raiders did, which was very, very effective. But the key is not allowing those receivers to get over the top of you. And you have a much better chance of not allowing that to happen when you play zone as opposed to man.
The after the game last week, Coach McDermott was lamenting the fact that they were getting a lot of cover two looks and they could not run effectively against cover two,
yeah,
which is kind of a must when they're playing that way, if you're ever going to pull them out of it. So it looks like Zach Moss is on track to play and return from a toe injury come Monday. How might that be able to enhance Buffalo's ability to maybe run the football a bit more effectively? This is a run defense that hasn't done terribly well in the Chiefs in terms of giving up yards on the ground. Where did you see the shortcomings for Buffalo's running game maybe last week, and how it might change with Zach Moss potentially in the lineup this week?
Well, to me, and again, every coach is different, and it's very easy to get excited about Josh Allen and these receivers and the big playability, because every offensive coach wants explosive plays, and percentage-wise, you get them far more out of the passing game. To me, though, the run game is about commitment and patience, because the run game could be 1 yard, 2 yards, minus 1, 7, 3 yards, 4 yards, minus 2, 8. The run game, to me, is about commitment and patience. And in an ideal world, the game is close enough that you can stay with the run game. Other than maybe Singletary, who does have the ability to break one here and there, certainly Zach Moss is not that guy. He's an urgent, competitive, downhill, sustaining runner. Zach Moss is not going to break 50-yard touchdown runs. So to me, it's about commitment to the run game. But I certainly understand how Brian Daboll, you know, feels, hey, we have Josh Allen, we've got these receivers, we can line up with four wide. Obviously, John Brown did not play last week. They still had snaps with four wide, just not as many. So it's very easy to feel that, hey, that's the way we're going to create our big explosive plays. But I think you have to commit to running the football.
How much of a role do you think Josh Allen should play in that commitment to running the football? I mean, they've kind of gotten way away from that. He had a few called runs in the first week or two of the season, and that was a big question here in Buffalo, a big conversation, how much is too much? And now in these last two games, and including the Tennessee game, almost no called runs at all. Do you think that should change or could change or would change? What do you think about Josh Allen's role in that run game?
That's a great question, Steve, because – you know, the reality is, no matter how big a quarterback is, and we know Josh is, you know, he's a big oak tree and obviously incredibly athletic, when the quarterback runs, he does get hit. And it's not just a hit, you know, there's a couple of hits involved with a quarterback running. It's not just a hit to bring him down, but then often it's a 300-pound guy falling on him. So I think you can use it selectively and judiciously. I think it should be part of what they do because it puts great stress on defenses. So it should be present. I'm not smart enough to know how much or how little they should do it, but I think it should be part of what they do because of the stress it puts on defenses.
And then, Greg, just looking ahead to this one with the Chiefs and the Bills, is there anything that sticks out to you as a distinct advantage for one team or the other. I mean, we hear about this, you know, keeping everything in front of them type approach by these two, you know, by defenses against these two offenses.
Sure.
And I wonder if Travis Kelce is a true X factor for the Chiefs that maybe the Bills don't really have, unless you see Beasley as somebody like that.
Well, you know, the Bills played a lot of man coverage this past week.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'll do that against the Chiefs. Again, that would be my sense. I don't know what Sean and Leslie have cooked up and what they have in mind, but I just think I was kind of surprised at the amount of man coverage they played,
yeah,
given that they were playing with two backup corners. But, you know, that's the approach that they decided to take. I really don't see them doing that this week. You know, I think that the Chiefs are an interesting team because Bell's not going to play this week. That's already been announced. The Chiefs are a passing team. They're not really a running football team. They're a passing team. So it comes down to limiting the explosive plays. Mahomes will throw for yards. They always do because they throw it so much. But you just must limit those explosive plays. And Kelce is an X factor because at the end of the day, you know how you deal with wide receivers. You know, either corners are on them one way or the other in zone or man, but it's how do you deal with Travis Kelce? Because the last thing you want to have in this game is to walk away feeling, hey, we didn't get burned by Hill or we didn't give up a long one to Hardman, but Kelce had 8 for 140.
Right.
So, you know, you have to decide how you want to play him based on where he lines up, because he will line up, as I said, as the single receiver to the boundary. He'll line up as the inside slot to trips. He lines up all over the formation. And this is stuff that is worked out in your game planning. It doesn't happen on a whim in game day.
Right.
But you have to have a plan for how you're going to deal with him when he lines up in all his different receiver locations.
And I believe to this point in the season, he leads the league in yards after catch by tight ends with almost 200 on the season already. So it's not done if you just give up the reception either. That's the other thing with him.
What do you think Le'Veon Bell's going to bring to this offense? They signed him overnight. He won't be in this game, but going forward you can bet that Andy Reid didn't just do it for the sake of doing it. He's got a plan for Lev Bell. What do you think it is?
My sense would be as a receiver. I don't think he's been a very good runner, even going back to his last year in Pittsburgh before he held out. I think he struggled that year. He only had 3 rushes that year of 20-plus yards. I'm not saying they'll never hand him the ball. Of course they will. But I don't see him as a quote-unquote feature back in terms of the run game. He's a terrific receiver. You can line him up anywhere in the formation as a receiver. To me, given that Andy Reid is a pass-first coach and loves to throw the ball, you know, he's not as explosive, let's say, as someone like Brian Westbrook, who Andy had in Philadelphia, but I think you can do a lot of those kinds of things with Le'Veon Bell.
All right, Greg, we appreciate the insight here as always. It should be an interesting game. Is this one featured at all on your ESPN NFL matchup show? Yeah,
it's
we figured
funny,
it would be.
I did a segment on the Titans' approach to Josh, and Matt Bowen did a segment on the Raiders' approach with the Chiefs. So, yeah, we took – because, you know, when we do the matchup show, guys, you can just get caught up in every week saying, you know, particularly with the great quarterback, so let's just show Patrick Mahomes making a great throw. Let's show Tom Brady making a throw. So we try not to do that. We really try to dig a little deeper into the X's and O's of it.
Well, good for you for giving some credit to some defenses out there, because they are having a tough time in the NFL this year with all these balls.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see if that changes.
It will, but probably not overnight. It'll probably be incremental, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean these games are fun, but, you know, a lot of them, they just look like college football.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a track meet. All right, Greg, good to catch up with you this week. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.